Hello, America, and to all of our listeners all over the world. You're listening to yet another exciting edition of Let's Weekend. I'm your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me as always is Teresa Sammons and Chris Logie. Say hi, guys.
Hey.
Hello.
Yeah. So it's been kind of a shit week. Like, overall, yeah. Just a bunch of shit clumped together, and it's just... It's like shit kind of snowballed and the bottom fell out this week. I don't know about you, but I think people, like the global population, is finally cracking under COVID.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's been going on for the past year.
Yeah, but...
Various places.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's just the U.S. in particular. I don't know. But, especially here in Georgia, it's been a shit week. If you've been watching the news, you'll know why. We'll go a bit more in detail into it a little later. Fortunately, it's not all bad news. We have got some good news as far as, like, COVID and vaccines. We're now sharing them with our neighbors to both the north and south of us. We got some good information about how long the antibodies after you go through COVID-19 last. And the former president finally stood up and actually recommended his base get the vaccine. Now, are they going to get it?
Maybe.
Well, time will tell. Yeah. In other news, I just found a place here, right here near where I live, that is currently got the vaccines in stock, so I've gone ahead and signed up for it. So,
good.
Don't know when I'm going to get it, but I will be getting it, and hopefully soon. I actually don't know which particular vaccine it is. Don't know if it's the Pfizer one or the Moderna one. Or the Johnson & Johnson one. I'll find out. I don't care. As long as it's available, I will take it. And if I have to make a second trip, I will make time.
Sure. Just stick it in the veins. Give me the good
stuff. Put it in me. And vaccines don't really take a long time anyway. Most of them
not
is just
especially.
A quick stick. No, most
if
of
they know
them
what
is
they're
just
doing.
Quick. If they know what they're doing, it's usually just a quick stick in the arm and you're done. Doesn't even take like a minute.
Yeah, just keep in mind, some of them are like your tetanus booster, which if you can't remember the last time you had it, you're ready for it. Because it does need to go into a muscle and you will have a sore arm, but that's part of living.
Well, I mean, I get a flu shot every year, so
doesn't hurt like the tetanus, because the tetanus has to go.
No, it doesn't hurt, but it does give you a cold for the next day or two.
It can do that.
So I'm prepared for some minor side effects.
Yeah.
But anyway, before we get to all of that shit, both the good and the bad. We got to talk about what we've been up to this week. So, Teresa, start us off. What have you been up to this week?
I have been playing Civ 6 a lot. Because
when is
the way this week
happening?
Has gone.
Yeah.
Right. So I've been playing that quite a lot. Putting my little ass iPad through its paces because I'm playing a full-fledged desktop game on a rinky-dink little iPad. It usually does quite well. I have at least one crash per game when I'm using a larger map.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been playing that and having fun with that. We've been watching more Bob's Burgers. I didn't put this on there, but we also watched one of the new releases of Great North. And it may be the only episode that dropped this week. I don't know.
Mm.
It was the one with the dance, and Alanis Morissette was like right there in the very beginning of it. And I'm like, oh, okay, this is good. And then we are still continuing our watch through the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and we are now up through Black Panther, and that's as far as we've gotten. So we're still quite behind.
Hey, you're doing better than I have. I haven't watched any further than the first Avengers movie.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I know.
We watched, I think it was Spider-Man Homecoming before that. That was the one. Mm. We watched it not exactly in order, but close enough. And that one was good, but Black Panther was better.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, just doing that and then work. We're getting ready to go on vacation next week, so that'll be nice. It's spring break. And we're going and staying in a cabin in the middle of nowhere, Iowa, with broadband. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, it's not going to be that bad. Mm-hmm. But I hear there are some caves nearby, so maybe we'll go check out some caves. And we'll be kind of near the town of Galena, which is the birthplace of Ulysses S. Grant. So we will go and visit visit all of that stuff. And the one scheduled activity that we have is an outdoor activity because, you know, there's still a goddamn pandemic. And we're going... Brandon, you're just going to roll your eyes at this so hard. We're going on a hike with goats and paying $60 for the opportunity to go walk around for a mile with goats.
You know, other than the price, that doesn't sound half bad.
Well, there's three of us. So.
Well, yeah. So it's like 20 per person.
Yeah, it is damn near that. Yeah.
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 Well, I mean, but... it depends on the goats.
I know. I mean, if they're really
goats, some goats are really super friendly and want nothing more than to socialize, and others are ornery little bastards who want to impale you on their curved horns.
Oh, they're going to give us food to feed to the goats, so they are going to be very motivated to be our friends. So it's
oh God, like that reminds me of a story. Okay, this is literally like the earliest memory I still have. This happened like way back, like even before I started kindergarten. This is like the earliest memory I still have. When I was really little, like 3 or 4 years old, there was and you got to understand, like where I'm sitting right now is what we call the sunroom or the Florida room. It used to be our back porch, all right? And I remember one day I'm, you know, being a little kid and doing little kid things, and I look out the back, outside of our back porch, I look in our backyard, and there's a goat out there. Like, just a random male goat. It was white, it had horns, it had a red collar around its neck. And I was like, and I'm like, Mommy, look at the goat! And she didn't believe me. I was like, Mommy, look at the goat. And then my dad walked in, he's like, Honey, come look at the goat. And
and then she's like, Okay, I gotta believe you now.
Yeah, I just look out there, it's like, oh my God, it's a goat. Where did it come from? And here's the thing. We never found out whose goat it was. Because eventually the goat wandered off and it basically wandered around the neighborhood. And the very last time we saw it was when some of our neighbors showed up with the goat in tow. They had put a leash on it, and they said, Hey, folks, is this your goat?
Not us.
It's like, no, it's not ours. So, yeah, that's the life in Hicksville. But, yeah, so that, as I said, was that about it?
Yeah, oh yeah, that's all I've been doing, really.
All right, Chris, what about you?
So I am finally in a phase where I can apply for an appointment for a COVID vaccine, which has me wrestling with this weird-ass website that the government has, where it's just like, put your location in. Actually, like, close places, and like, likes me to, you know, play their website, I guess, to do appointments. And some of the smaller places obviously aren't, you know, having elaborate websites to deal with all this, which is understandable. Some just don't seem to have anything. But the bigger places like Walgreens Pharmacy or Giant Eagle, but just like, there's basically fuck yous. Like, we don't have appointments. Like one for Mark's, which is a local grocery chain, like here in the Midwest, at least. The other shows me a calendar of dates, and they're all crossed out. I'm like, what's the use of this? There was one date, one location. It wasn't. I clicked on it. It's like, did nothing. That was for tomorrow. I was like, oh, I'll drive an hour for this tomorrow. Sure. And nothing. I was like, no, we don't have any. Motherfucker. But I put in for a couple of places. Like, I signed up, give my details to potentially pick a date, I guess. I don't know. But, I got another one here that I'm going to, well, I was, and then I showed how stupid I am by clicking on a shiny button that wasn't actually tied to anything. Maybe I'll get one. I don't know. I was hoping to get one at my workplace because they were doing them, but they don't seem to be doing them anymore. Like they may be out of their supplies or something.
Yeah.
So I was like, what else if I don't have to drive all the way to work to get one? That'd be fine. That's the last time I'm spending at work, the better. So, you know.
Yeah.
So that's that, I guess. I don't know. I just got a text from the place I put in for, so maybe I'll get that. But other than that, not really doing too much this week. I had to work yesterday in the rain. It was like consistent rain for almost the entire day.
Yeah, so been like, there, done that.
This is lovely. This is lovely weather. No lightning up at any point. So you just feel like shit the entire time.
Yeah.
Just one day to just get home. It's like, all right, I got to take everything on. I'm just going to take a shower and get some fresh clothes. Feel better at least that way. Which is okay. But it was like 45 degrees in rain. So it was like, oh. That cold rain that's like, oh, nothing good's happening today. But I think today is the last cold day we're going to have for a little bit. It was also about 45. Supposed to get up into about 60 tomorrow and be up there for a while. Though a lot of rain next week, I guess.
No more rain.
A couple days. But 70 in rain is a lot better than 45 in rain.
Yeah,
it looks like we're actually going to be having our last cold day here tomorrow. And then it's going to be 67 and nothing lower.
So the low we had this morning was like 26.
Yeah.
When I was coming in, which I misread the weather because my stupid thing wasn't updating. It just showed me the high. It's like, oh, it's 45 right now. And I got to work and I was like, it's cold. And I looked up 30. I was like, oh, stupid.
Yeah.
I was a little bit underdressed, but it was fine. Mm-hmm.
You were in good company this morning. We did about the same. We walked out the door and we're like, holy shit, it's windy. Ran to the car, tried to find some blankets in the back seat so I could take my kid to school because he's in person part of the time now.
Yeah, it's windy when it's cold and you're like, can you just give me something?
Right.
Either be warmer or be less windy. One or the other.
Mm-hmm.
But now, but the fun part of that is when people get like boxes to put their stuff in. They don't put it in. They go out the door and boom, it goes flying away. Because they're stupid idiots. Every single fucking time. I love seeing that.
Mm-hmm.
People chasing after their boxes. It's a good job.
Mm.
Watching stuff. Not really had time for the fucking Snyder Cut. Because it's 4 fucking hours for a movie.
Yeah.
It might not be all that much better than what was 3 hours. I'll probably check it out here over the weekend. But I did watch some more Venture Brothers. I think I'm still in season 1. So a lot of that kind of fun stuff. I got to the episode where they introduced the group that is essentially the Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
But only one person's gotten anything good out of it. Because the rest are all miserable. And that's where they also threw out the R word. It's like, oh yeah, this show came out like 15 years ago.
It absolutely did.
Oh yeah. Okay.
And it was absolutely written by Gen X, and we absolutely grew up saying that all the goddamn time.
Yeah.
Yep.
So yeah, there's like a couple elements that are like, oh, this does not age well at all. especially when it comes to the initial handling of Dr. Girlfriend. Some of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, still fun show. What was the one I watched? The one where Brock goes to his like camping retreat kind of thing. Leaves mm-hmm. the family alone, and they get both the Underbite and the Monarchs trying to take him out. And they both just go get foiled by the panic room stuff, and then the robot comes out and kills all of them. That's pretty funny. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, the introduction of Dr. Orpheus is great too, that episode.
Oh god, mm-hmm. Triana.
The weird machine that like shows them their fantasies or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he finds out, it's like, oh, you used the heart of an orphan to make this. It's like, what's wrong with you?
Mm-hmm.
That stuff's just great. There's the Snyder Cut and the Falcon and Winter Soldier that need to watch.
Yeah.
Because that episode came out today and just like, oh, I have no time for this. but for games, get back into Rocket League. Took a little break last week from it, and still good. Won a match, so things are still going pretty well there, coming down to the last few weeks here of the season.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of done everything I really need to for the most part. So that's just kind of biding my time, just trying to complete what I can for the last few weeks here.
Yeah.
Also got some more time into Fortnite. Their new season started. Which had like a weird little single player thing to play before it started, which was all right, I guess. It didn't really have anything of consequence to it. It's just story exposition stuff that doesn't really matter anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the neat thing about the season pass or the battle pass for this season is Lara Croft is on it.
Mm-hmm.
But she's not like the initial one. It's mm-hmm. Jones, the main character that's been at the forefront of the reveals of the various crossover stuff for the past few months, which is played by, I forget what the voice actor is, the guy who did Joel in Last of Us.
Mm.
His voice actor, I forget what his name is at the moment. But he's been voicing him, and so he's like the first character you get.
Mm-hmm.
Which to me is like, yeah, I'm not playing with him. He's a boring character. Lara Croft is like the first one you unlock in the Battle Pass, so looking forward to that. Mm. The changes they made for this season is that there's like hunting and crafting now.
Mm.
It's not as elaborate as you might think. There's like two types of materials you can get for crafting. There's one for killing animals. To run across wolves and chickens and boars and some other stuff.
Hmm.
They drop meats that you can use to heal yourself, and there's like weird totem thing that you get that you can use to upgrade certain weapons. The bow is a part of this season as a new thing. And you can upgrade that depending on the type of bow. You can upgrade it with like a little tank of gas to make it a flaming bow. So you can do some fire damage and burn structures that people make down a little bit easier. That kind of stuff. So kind of just upgrading weapons to like the next level, you know, from blue to purple or green to blue, that kind of thing. But it's at least a little bit of an extra thing. The other one's for like breaking down vehicles, I think. But it's not all vehicles. I'm confused where I get that stuff. They don't really explain any of this at all. She's like, I guess the thing says maybe you can hunt animals, so that's okay.
Mm.
And I got a bunch from a random vehicle, and I don't, other vehicles I've destroyed, and they didn't get anything, so I don't, it's confusing.
Mm-hmm.
But I've won two games already, so that's been fun. I've also been playing some more Loop Hero. That game still is pretty fun. Still kind of just at the point of grinding out to add stuff to the game, but to unlock stuff in the base, so right now it's just kind of a lot of repetitious stuff, but looking forward to putting some more time into that.
Yeah.
And that's been pretty much it. I got the Avengers upgrade for PS5, so looking forward to putting some time into that.
Mm-hmm.
That was like a huge 70-some gig update, so I couldn't play it all yesterday. So that's been pretty much it. How about you, Brandon?
Yeah, well, as for me, my primary gaming has been divided between Splatoon 2, still. I finished both the main campaign and the Octo expansion, so that's kind of it for the story parts of the game. I've also gotten all of the Sunken Scrolls, and that's pretty much it for like the story parts of that game. So I've been doing a lot of the League and, I mean, not League, but normal and ranked matches. I do think it's kind of the way their algorithm like chooses people for each particular match is kind of messed up and unfair, because, you know, like what it'll basically do is it'll grab like say for like a normal match, it'll get like a random grab bag of like 8 different players, and then they'll take that group and they'll try and divide them up between like the level that each character is at, so that each team will sort of have a mixture of like high and low level people in it, theoretically. In reality, there are now like at least 4 or 5 times when I've gone up against teams made up of like people in like level 30 or 40, and me still dinky little level 13 getting paired up with people who the highest we have is level 20. And yes, this does actually make a difference, because there are like certain weapons and certain pieces of equipment you can't get until you've reached a certain level. And they most specifically do give you an advantage. So, yeah. I will say, though, the other issue I'm having is a lot of players keep ducking out too early, like disconnecting, especially with like ranking matches, because basically if some players drop out before the end of a ranking matches, then your ranking will not change. Now that's good if you end up losing, because it doesn't end up hurting your ranking. Not so good if you end up winning. But you know, in spite of those things, I'm still having fun. I'm still having a good time. Still a fun game. Also, started replaying Jade Empire again. This is the, for those who don't know, it's the original IP that BioWare did before they moved on to Mass Effect and Dragon Age. It's more of a Chinese sort of wuxia fantasy type world where it's mostly like martial arts and everything. It's really good. It's a lot of fun. Definitely a little primitive compared to Mass Effect, but because they're still kind of using the engine that they used to make you know, Knights of the Old Republic, but definitely a step up from KOTOR. It's generally, it's a fun game. I really like it. Also, reading books, nothing really to say about there. Also, because it's now that time of the year, I'm having to deal with the allergy shit. You know, pollen, everything, covering everything into a nice little shade of green. It's just oh so much fun. Oh so much fun.
So what is your daily allergy remediation strategy?
Well, I have Allegra that I take every morning. Also, mm-hmm. I have a little vial of Flonase that I put in my nose.
Oh, okay. Then you're and, yeah.
Yeah, and I make sure to wash my hands frequently. So
okay.
Yeah.
That's about the freaking best we can hope for, I guess, without allergy injections.
Pretty much.
Yeah, it does suck.
But yeah, you know, it's after 30 odd years of having to deal with this shit, you know, it becomes, there are days when it's just a mild annoyance, and there are days where I'm not going to leave my house because I can see little clouds of it floating around in the air and I ain't fucking jinxing it.
No. Yeah.
But finally, in general, it just kind of sucks in Georgia right now, and we'll be getting to why in a little bit. But again, if you've been watching the news, you kind of already know why, but we'll be getting to that. Yeah. So, with that, do we have anything we want to add before we move on? No?
Nah, nothing here.
Nothing? Okay. All right, then. Well, with that, we'll now move on to everybody's favorite part of the show, which is Brandon's Random Factoid. And so, quick sort of question. Do you guys remember that episode of The Simpsons where they tried to track down the co-creator of Itchy and Scratchy?
Yeah. No, I don't think so.
Okay, so... Yeah. So the story was that Itchy and Scratchy was originally created by these two dudes. One dude is the guy who takes all the credit for it, and then this other dude they end up finding who's like this homeless guy who it turns out was also co-creator and did a lot of the work on the character's creation. Now, that particular instance is supposed to be a reference to Walt Disney and his collaborator of Iwerks, who helped him create Mickey Mouse. He also helped create Oswald the Lucky Rabbit. But the thing is, that kind of story kind of overdoes it because Walt never really made any secret of the fact that he had Ub helping him create the character. It's probably a better parallel to the story of Batman, specifically how Batman was created. And that's what we're going to briefly talk about tonight. So when you think of Batman, what's like the image that immediately comes to your head?
Well, it's the Batcave. And like not the new modern Batcave, but well, maybe. No. Well, no, not the new modern Batcave, the 90s Batcave.
Yeah.
The WB Batcave.
Yeah, you think the Batcave, you think the Joker, Catwoman, Arkham Asylum. You think the costume with the black and the gray with the black cape and the bat mask and all that stuff, and he's just all over. He's a very grim looking figure. And now when you think about Bob Kane, who is the guy that is credited with creating Batman? When, like, if you ever watch a Batman movie or play a Batman game or read a Batman comic book or anything involving Batman, what is the name that's usually credited to creating Batman?
Is it Bob Crane?
Bob Kane. Close.
Kane, that's right.
Bob Kane. Bob, B-O-B, Bob Kane. K-A-N-E. So much so that his own fucking tombstone makes this huge hullabaloo about the fact that he created Batman. Here's the dirty little secret, though. Batman, actually, you know what? First, before I do anything further, I'm going to go ahead and post this image of his grave, Bob Kane's grave. Just, I'm going to put this in the studio chat so you can look at this self-aggrandizing bullshit. But yeah. He's normally the guy is in the Batman comic books when it was the Batman comic strip that ran, you know, on Sundays. His name was the name signed on the byline. But here's the dirty little truth. The creation of Batman, at least involving specifically the Batman that can be directly traced to Bob Kane. Well, I'll show you. This is what Bob Kane's original like idea of how Batman would look. This is his original drawing right here. And as you can clearly see, only kind of tenuously looks like what the original Batman looks, what the Batman as we know him looks like. It's for those of you who can't see it, the Batman as he was originally thought of by Bob Kane is a dude who wears a red jumpsuit. He's like a blonde, blue-eyed, Aryan-looking dude. He's got, you know, black underwear on, and on the back he's got these bat wings that are like spread eagle, right? And he's like swinging on a rope. So after, you know, Action Comics number one came out and Superman became a huge hit, basically every comic book company out there was now trying to jump on the new superhero bandwagon. Batman was one of those characters. And this is actually the concept that Bob Kane originally presented. So how did Batman go from this silly looking thing to the Batman we now all know and love? The Batman that first appeared in Detective Comics number 27 in 1939. Well, for that, you have to go to the guy who was his main writer for a lot of those original Batman stories. That was a guy named Bill Finger. Bill Finger, probably more than Bob Kane, is the guy most responsible for Batman as we know him. Literally everything we associate with Batman as a character. His costume, the fact that his name is Bruce Wayne, his origin story, his, you know, the idea of a bunch of crazy people, you know, his most of his enemies and, you know, fiends list being people who end up in places like Arkham Asylum. Characters like the Joker, the Penguin, well, technically not the Joker. The Joker was created by another writer, but under the influence of Bill Finger. Catwoman, the Penguin, a bunch of like, you know, his early ideas, the concept of the Batmobile, the concept of the Batcave, the name Gotham City, the original Robin. Literally everything you can think of that makes Batman Batman as we know him of today came directly from the mind of Bill Finger. Now, you're probably thinking, okay, so all of this stuff came from Bill Finger. You know, Bob Kane may have been the guy who initiated the concept, but Bill Finger is the guy who ended up filling in all of the, who ended up coloring in all the spaces. So why is it that for a long time you never saw any of his name on the credits? Well, there's a couple of reasons for that. Right around the 1940s, 1950s, there started to be a sort of unionization and sort of creators' rights, you know, movement that started happening during what's called the Golden Age of Comics. And it was more or less kick-started by Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster, the guys who created Superman. So here's the thing. Both Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster and Bob Kane and Bill Finger, they worked for what was the then version of DC Comics. I can't remember what they, I think they were originally called something like Manhattan or Comics or Malcolm Mueller, something like that. Yes, it was National Allied Publications, something like that. And so when you hear talk of unions, what's usually something that starts happening? Union busting, right? Well, guess who just so happened to come into the offices of the head of to the head offices of DC and managed to snitch? Bob fucking Kane. And as thanks for his actions, Kane was able to in exchange for signing away the ownership to the character, he received monetary compensation, a regular pension, regular creative, you know, creative production, and a mandatory byline on all Batman comics.
Well, well, well.
And as you can imagine, he completely pushed Bill Finger out of the picture. Bill Finger is one of the lost geniuses of comics. He did not get any acknowledgement for Kane until shortly before his death. Now, he didn't just work in Batman. He also wrote many of the original stories for the Green Lantern in the 1940s, the original Alan Scott. And he helped develop a bunch of other characters as well. But he never received any writing credit for all the stuff that he did on the original Batman. He basically died poor and obscure. His family actually had to reach out to the comic book community to pay for his funeral fees. And it was not until 2015 that DC finally started to give Finger co-credit on you know, Batman merchandise. The first of this being the co-credit he got on Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice in 2016. And he didn't get his first formal credit as creator until Batman and Robin Eternal number 3 and Batman Arkham Knight Genesis number 3 in the comics world. But the acknowledgement always puts Bill Finger after Bob Kane. Yeah.
That's just tough to swallow.
Yeah. And again, when I talk about the self-aggrandizing bullshit, just look at that grave of Bob Kane. It's fucking... It's like he's talking about all this bullshit and he barely involved with any of it. Oh, and I also forgot to mention, a lot of those original Batman stories that Bob Kane did the artwork for, yeah, he mostly traced a lot of that from other sources. And in fact, I'm pretty sure of all the of the original Batman stories that his artwork is... he's credited for the artwork. I'm pretty sure only about a dozen of them are actually by him. Because right around the time he sold away, he, you know, exchanged the ownership rights for that tasty little contract, he started hiring ghost artists to do the work for him. And it didn't stop there either. After he retired from comics and he started up a career as a painter, he also got a bunch of ghost artists to do that work for him as well. So yeah, basically the moral of this story is fuck Bob Kane. Bob Kane is a hack.
Yeah, and a little sleazy too.
Oh yeah. And that has been yet another edition of Brandon's Random Factoid. Yeah. Alright, with that out of the way, it is now time to start the show proper. And as always, we got to start with the assholes of the week. Prepare yourself, folks. There's quite a few. The big one that started off this week was the death of Sarah Everard. Over in the UK, a London Metro cop basically stopped and murdered her. And when there was supposed to be like a, there was like a, wasn't it like a candlelight vigil or something they were holding for her? They basically got chased away by the London Metropolitan Police.
Not really chased away. They just swarmed and attacked a bunch of people.
Yeah.
There's one big picture of one of the women on a sign being held to the ground as she was being arrested.
Mm-hmm.
A great thing to do, like, and wow. A tribute for a woman that was, you know, harassed and killed by a cop.
Yeah, it's like, wow, that's just, it's like, read the room, people. You're making a bad situation even worse. Just... What were they thinking?
The reason they cited is because of coronavirus restrictions. Is like, you guys went about the exact wrong way.
Yeah, for the record, after all the stuff that happened with the Black Lives Matter stuff that happened this year, we can fairly easily conclude that large outdoor rallies, as long as people, you know, wear a mask and make sure to social distance, aren't really as big of a risk as people originally thought it was. But yeah, even if that was the case, you didn't have to run in and fucking attack people.
Yeah.
It's just like there were better ways to go about this. This sort of, you know, strike first, ask questions later is something you would associate more with the American police. Doesn't it? Not making London looking good, folks, but
making American police proud.
Yeah. So, So, obviously, that's where this week started. And like we said, the cops attacked and arrested people at the vigil. Because of all this shit, now the UK police are going to start recording misogyny as a hate crime. I mean, it's going to be an experimental thing at first, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also saw there's another story about, plainclothes cops are going to be hanging out in bars to protect women. It's like, that's the exact wrong thing to do after...
Yeah, that's like... cops
stalked and killed a woman.
Mm-hmm. Like, you're not making anybody feel safer there, what, buddy. You're just, again, making a bad situation worse. And, yeah, now we got to get to the story of why it sucks in Georgia right now. On Tuesday, this douchebag, and I'm not going to name him. We will not name him because he does not deserve the attention. A dude in Atlanta went to a Asian parlor called the Gold Spa in Atlanta, and he shot 8 people and killed 8 of them. Well, I think he shot like 9 or 10 people, but one of them is survived. I think
it was one survivor.
Yeah, a Guatemalan immigrant. I forgot what their name is. Mostly the victims were Asian women. And he didn't just stop at the
Asian women.
Yeah, and he didn't just stop at the Gold Spa. He went to 3 others. I mean, not 3 others, but like 2 other spas.
3 spas. Making 3
total. Now, when I first heard this story, I already had a sort of idea in my head of what went down here. For those of you who don't know, I'm not sure if this is true elsewhere in the country, but this is especially true here in Georgia. Asian massage parlors often have a reputation for being fronts for sex work and sex trafficking. And I originally thought that this was some dude who like went too far with one of the ladies who works there. And so the mommy-san kicked them out and banned them from the premises. And then, well, this happened. Well, we found out later that it's a bit more complicated than that. So apparently this dude was originally part of this place called Hope Quest, which was like this fundamentalist evangelical program to help treat sex addiction. Now, sex addiction is an actual thing, but by the way, this is being described, not sure if that would apply to this guy. It's possible he just had normal, you know, sexual urges as any person, young man in their early 20s would have.
He's also a pastor's son. So there's probably some real fucked up mind warping going on there.
Yeah, and apparently...
But to the point that you blame women for his problems.
Yeah, and apparently they also found, like, some stuff on, like, his computer of, like, where he's like spreading like weird COVID conspiracy theories about it being like a biological weapon from China. And that's making it is like, is this like a crime of misogyny or is it a crime of, you know, xenophobia? No one's really sure. And considering the cops that are dealing with it, it might be a little while before we find out the truth, because the cops who caught him, and I mean, I can't remember. Did they catch him or did he turn himself in?
They caught him because he was on his way to Florida to more places.
Yeah, he basically admitted that he did it. He didn't even try to hide it. And then the spokesperson for the Atlanta PD went on this weird tangent about how, like, the kid said he was just at the end of his rope. He was having a really bad day and this is how he ended up taking it out. And it's like, dude, why are you fucking defending him?
And like, why are you just regurgitating what he's told you?
Yeah.
Like, that's not an objective way to do this.
No, and shouldn't they have professional, you know, standards on communicating with the public in situations like this?
They're like, oh, he said it wasn't a race thing. It's like, he doesn't get to decide that.
No.
Also, he didn't go to a strip club to shoot up people, so he went to with Asian women in them.
Yeah, the strip club, by the way, was literally like across the street. And yet he decided to go to this, not one, not two, but three different Asian spas.
I want to say he had been to at least one of them before.
I'll be pretty honest with you. There's like a good half of young men here in Georgia who have been visited one of those things on occasion at least once.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's like a whole code and like a whole like list of etiquette and stuff involved in doing it, but that's neither here nor there. The important thing is a bunch of Asian women are dead because of this fucker.
Yeah.
And
did you see the cop that was talking about the bad day thing for him?
Yeah.
They found on his Facebook that he was promoting like COVID-19 shirts saying, you know, imported from China.
Yeah.
In the Corona style label.
Mm-hmm.
And then the police department that he worked at put out a statement saying, oh, he's had a tough few weeks. Essentially using the same kind of excuse for the kid.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's been moved to some other department instead of being a spokesperson. So
yeah. And unfortunately, this is kind of the capstone on a very disturbing uptick of anti-Asian hate crimes in the United States over the last year. By some estimates, it's risen by 150% in some places. On top of this, there's that dirtbag in San Francisco who sucker punched a 75-year-old woman. You've probably seen it on Facebook or Twitter by now at some point, because she ended up putting that kid in the hospital.
To which, while he was rolling away, he gave her the middle finger.
Yeah. And apparently he had tried beating up somebody else earlier that day. And, you know, like, you'll hear a bunch of stories from people who are like, you know, this... Yeah, but especially Asian Americans will be like, yeah, man, I like... You know, at least once a day, I have had people scream COVID shit at me. You know, it's...
Yeah, I've seen some restaurants closing early so that people aren't leaving super late.
Yeah.
Going home, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. And, it's... And, yeah, you know why this happened. It's because the fucking former president instigated it. Like... He tapped into it. He knew what he was fucking doing.
Yeah. Well, we also have a nasty history with dealing with the Asian people.
You know,
put them in internment camps during World War II, taking their businesses and all that away from them.
Taking their businesses, starting like a complete like lockdown of Chinese immigration for like a good 30, 40 years.
The whole, like, you know, just model minority myth.
Yeah, the shit that happened during the Vietnam War.
We can't be racist because look at how good all these Asian people are doing.
Yeah.
It's like maybe...
Anti-Asian racism is something that is woven very deeply into the American fabric. And
especially like the last 100 years of this country.
Yeah, and it seems like the last couple weeks it all snowballed into this. And... people have been noticing. This is not some, you know, that thing that happened in Atlanta was the one that finally made people stand up and recognize that this is happening. This is especially troubling when it has anything to do with China and the Chinese people and the Chinese government and making all of these excuses. First of all, I want to make this clear. COVID-19, as we know it, first appeared in Wuhan, China, but it appears that the original virus started probably somewhere in Central or Eastern Europe before it made its way to Asia.
Yeah.
And then, you know, as an inert virus before it became active, and it was probably already spreading pretty actively before the first case was recognized.
Yeah.
It is absolutely true that parts of the Chinese government absolutely bungled talking about this fucking virus and were not completely clear with people when it was happening. But there were also other parts of the Chinese government that were very clear about it and trying to be as open as they could. Understand, when you're talking about any issue you have with the Chinese government, it's not the entire Chinese government. It's a handful of people at the top who make a lot of the policy. And when you're talking about the Communist Party of China, remember that you're talking about an organization that has over 9 million members in it. So remember, when you're talking about anything involving China's government or Chinese politics, you're usually talking about a handful of people that are at the top. A lot of the people underneath them don't have a whole lot of say in the matter.
And that has nothing to do with the people themselves.
Yeah.
Just like you couldn't try to claim Trump was the same as, you know, the American people.
Yeah. Again, and like, yeah, again, you want to talk about bungling fucking COVID-19? Look at what our fucking government did. Look at how badly we fucked it up.
Yeah. Taking too long to react to it. Constantly saying like, oh, it'll be done by Easter.
Yeah.
Or by the 4th or, you know, whatever.
Yeah. But guess what? See, even though they had those issues in China, guess what? They have COVID under control in China right now. Mm-hmm. People are actually going out and having festivals, and a lot of them don't have to wear the mask anymore. Most of them have gotten vaccinated.
Imagine that.
You know, they built a couple of hospitals completely from scratch just to help treat this fucking virus. And yeah, it's infuriating. There's a lot of shit about this shit that is just absolutely infuriating. And I just hate the fact that it took something like this to make people finally realize that this was an issue. But unfortunately, the assholery doesn't end there. Because Pfizer executives in an investment call were envisioning a price hike for COVID-19 vaccines post-pandemic.
Yeah, this whole weird thing, but the possibility was raised by Carter Lewis Gold, senior analyst for biopharma equity research at Barclays.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Clearly you got a lot of focus on the street, in particular some of your comments around the potential for higher pricing. I think one of the things that people point to is both the optics of that as well as some of their experience with the flu market. This is absolutely different, but I was hoping you could maybe give us a little bit more depth on your thoughts here around the potential to pursue higher pricing down the road. In response, Frank A. D'Amelio, CFO and Executive VP of Global Supply for Pfizer, said, let's see, so if you look at how current demand and current pricing being driven, it's clear not being driven by what I'll call normal market conditions, normal market forces. It's really being driven by kind of the pandemic state that we've been in and the needs of governments to really secure doses from the various vaccine suppliers. So what I believe is as we move from a pandemic state, from a pandemic situation to an endemic situation, normal market forces, normal market conditions will start to kick in. And factors like efficacy, booster ability, clinical utility will basically become very important. And view that as, quite frankly, a significant opportunity for a vaccine from a demand perspective, from a pricing perspective, given the clinical profile of our vaccine. There's clearly more to come here. But we think as this shifts from pandemic to endemic, then there's an opportunity here for us. Because basically there's like a possibility that we may need to get like a yearly touch-up on our vaccines.
Yeah, like we end up getting like a yearly thing. Yeah, so like another, like we just add this to the flu shot, basically, that kind of thing.
Yeah, because there's obviously new strains that some of these don't necessarily help handle super well. Mm. And like, they're talking about like, you could probably get by with one shot, but that's more of a temporary solution because that's why you get the second one for some of these vaccines, because it's a booster shot that gives you a longer lasting protection against it, at least the worst symptoms. So yeah, that's pharma companies are gonna be pharma companies once these things are not necessarily being covered by the governments, the cost and all that. So once what they've done with the like insulin and all that, they're definitely gonna try to do that with the COVID vaccines. When things are more under control.
Because it's big fucking pharma, and yeah, this is what they do.
Yep.
Ugh. All hail capitalism.
Well, hopefully not for much longer. Well, anyway. Oh, yeah, the Vatican stepped in it today when they basically said that they would bar blessing gay unions despite welcoming and blessing of gay people.
Yeah, they basically put a statement on this whole thing. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, just to be honest, it's not terribly surprising.
No.
Because it's the fucking papacy. What are you going to do? But,
Yeah, nobody expects much out of the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like they've been fairly progressive in terms of the Catholic Church, being more open to having, you know, gay people be part of their congregations and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously not to the point of, handling the marriages.
Yeah.
Because, oh my God, very different than the heterosexual ones.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, not really too much. Yeah. There.
Not a big shock, but still.
There's a reason why more people are just being agnostic of religion in general.
Yeah.
Saying,
especially whatever. Catholics. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm surprised that a religion built around just making everybody feel guilty about everything doesn't turn out so well in the long term.
It's still the largest religious religion in the world, weirdly enough. So
yeah.
Apparently, it still has a hold on people.
Yeah.
And finally, we got this story. It comes from the Tokyo Olympic Committee. Tokyo Olympic Committee member steps down after an idea for the opening ceremony involving the Olympig, as in P-I-G. You're going to have to explain this one.
So this involves, let's see, Hiroshi Sasaki, who is kind of creative director for the opening and closing ceremonies, had an idea for having this comedian, Naomi Watanabe, who is a plus-sized comedian. Mm-hmm. It's kind of challenging body image norms in Japan, that kind of stuff, kind of the same way like Lizzie has done that over here.
Yeah.
And so his idea was, hey, let's get her, cause she's popular and all that, and we'll have her dress like a pig, and she'll be lowered into the Olympic Stadium in an opening ceremony that he calls Olympic.
Mm-hmm. It's like, way to buck those Japanese stereotypes, buddy.
Yeah, and once the new head of the committee, Seiko Hashimoto, heard of this. Mm-hmm. Said she was shocked when she read about his comments. And he had apologized, communicated his intention to resign in a phone call with her earlier this week, saying it should have never happened. The comments were inappropriate and very regrettable. When I became president of the organizing committee, I made gender equality a key initiative so that we could regain the public's trust. So it seems not really surprising it. More and more of these people show themselves to be completely out of touch.
Yeah. I mean, this is not the only incident here.
No, this is like incident number 3 at this point, isn't it?
Yeah.
Christ
Second
almighty.
Person that's had to resign.
Yeah. Ugh. God damn it, Japan. Anyway. Well, fortunately, it wasn't all terrible, because we actually do have some heroes of the week to talk about. Briefly first, the U.S. is sharing 4 million doses of the AstraZeneca vaccine with both our neighbors in Canada and Mexico. Is the AstraZeneca vaccine the one that you can actually do just one dose and you're good, or is this one that still requires
two shots?
I think
it's the Johnson & Johnson one.
All right.
The reason we can do this is because the FDA has not approved it yet for use here. So we have, I think, 7 million doses.
Mm-hmm.
So they're offering up 2.5 million to Mexico, and Canada gets the remaining 1.5 million doses.
Hmm.
For that, Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what if it's two doses or one, but yeah, it's one that it's kind of been in the talks around because some countries are a little bit not sure if this one's particularly great, but I think Canada and Mexico have had kind of trouble getting people vaccinated quickly.
Yeah.
And I think it's partially just not being able to get great amounts of vaccines for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the Biden administration sort of offering some vaccines to both and help them out.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
So I want to say both of them have only done like maybe 1.5 million or so people.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's certainly not a bad thing that we're able to share like this. Yeah.
The ones that probably need it most are the countries in South America and Africa that don't are have kind the
money getting, to... Yeah. Yeah. Also because there's some weird shenanigans where... So apparently, like, there are some countries in the global south that are trying to create, like, a generic form of the vaccine that can be, like, spread at low cost. And for whatever reason, they're getting stonewalled because of it.
Yeah.
I know China has been trying to work on one. I know Russia has been working on one. I think India has also been trying to develop one. And I think pretty sure there's one that's been, they've been trying to develop in Cuba as well. But anyway, yeah, it's, you know, it's a good gesture, you know, and I hope it helps.
Yeah.
In other news, the House of Representatives passed two bills on the immigration system.
Yeah. The first one's the American Dream and Promise Act.
Mm-hmm.
Which previously passed in the House in 2019. Obviously got squashed by Mitch. This one that would create a process for undocumented immigrants brought to the U.S. as children, otherwise known as Dreamers, to earn mm-hmm. permanent resident status and eventual citizenship. Mm-hmm. It also includes a path to citizenship for people with temporary protected status and beneficiaries of deferred and forced departure. That went past 228 to 197.
Mm.
So pretty much party lines. The other one is the Farm Workforce Modernization Act, which would establish a system for agricultural workers to earn temporary status with an eventual option to become a permanent resident. So the act would also amend the existing H-2A, Temporary Agricultural Worker Visa Program.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the two things that's definitely needed.
Yeah.
So we're also getting this weird whole situation at the border of parents sending their kids over alone.
Yeah.
It's a very weird thing because we go easier on the kids, I guess, than the adults.
Theoretically, anyway, yeah. I guess, theoretically.
But it's like what dealing with them's because they're coming in huge numbers, so it's
yeah
hard to... find the housing and all that for them, I guess.
Yeah. And, the House also renewed the Violence Against Women Act.
Yeah, this is one that has had trouble getting passed in the past because of people like Mitch McConnell.
Yeah.
So I think it was supposed to renew back in 2018, I think. Yeah, it lapsed because Congress didn't get to it in time.
Yeah.
But yeah, this one passed 244 to 172 Republicans mm-hmm. that voted against it. Mm-hmm. Which started in 1994, protects and provides resources for victims of domestic abuse and sexual violence.
Yeah.
If you're wondering how 172 Republicans voted against that, it's because this particular edition has a provision that expands the criminal threshold to bar an individual from buying a gun to include misdemeanor convictions of domestic abuse or stalking. It also closed the so-called boyfriend loophole to explain the definition of who is affected by existing gun prohibitions to include dating partners. This legislation makes it clear that Democrats consider gun ownership a second-class right, said Rep. Bob Good of Virginia.
That's not even fucking... Wow, that is a reach. That is... Yeah. That is one hell of a reach.
And I want to say that in Virginia, they already have this sort of legislation at a state level.
Yeah, so he is
not even
talking out
the
of that.
State is different.
Yeah.
So they are, so obviously the NRA is involved in this, getting GOP lawmakers to vote against it, despite it being a fairly benign piece of legislation that, you know, most people would advocate for if it weren't for this one thing about not giving guns to abusers.
Well, and frankly, they're probably absolutely happy to have any cockamamie excuse to be obstructionist.
Yeah. Because they don't really have a whole lot of good excuses to work with right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this may not get past the culture war. Because it needs 60 votes instead of 50.
Yeah.
So they absolutely do need to get Republicans involved.
Unfortunately.
But here's
Isn't
Senator
that a goddamn
Lisa,
crime? You know?
Yeah.
Which I saw, was it Lindsey Graham? I was like, oh, if they pick up like one or two more seats, it's going to be the end of everything. The Democrats are going to do all their wildest fantasies.
Don't like, threaten us like with a good a time, thing. Motherfucker. Yeah.
That's his Don't specialty.
But, yeah. And finally, the Senate confirms Deb Haaland as the first Native American Interior Secretary.
Yep.
That. It's landmark.
Yep.
And the vice president swore in. Talking about, making some more history here.
Now they are. They absolutely are. Yeah. Good on them. Hope she can make some serious change. Let's see. Oh, yeah. All right. So. That's the end of the Heroes of the Week. Now we're going on to the proper show proper. And first thing out of that, you've probably been hearing that there's talk now that the Democrats are getting ready to get to try and do away with the filibuster. Well, I said they do away with the filibuster. They're doing away with the type of filibuster that is often used now. An actual, like, classical filibuster basically requires a person to go up onto a podium and basically talk nonstop until everybody gets sick enough to just stop working, basically. And Mitch McConnell has vowed that if the Senate ends the filibuster, they're going with a scorched earth strategy. And the thing is, it's completely
as opposed to what?
Yeah, it's a completely hollow threat, basically.
Basically, what happened the last 4 years on the GOP side.
Yeah.
Which is like, so you're going to do exactly the same thing.
Let me start crying because we've never seen this before. Blah, blah, blah. Come on. It's the same old shit.
But he's
and even if the filibuster wasn't there, they'd still be doing the same old shit.
Yeah. What he says here is, let me say this very clearly for all 99 of my colleagues. Nobody serving in this chamber can even begin to imagine what a completely scorched earth Senate would look like.
We can.
For 4 years.
Yeah, you basically did that all throughout Obama's tenure as president.
Yeah. Yeah, remember this little thing called, was it Scalia's death? That's
Antonin Scalia.
Like, oh, it's like, oh, we can't appoint a SCOTUS judge in an election year. Can't do that. That's impossible. It wouldn't be just. Then he rams one in like the span of like 3 or 4 weeks. Right up until the election started.
Pretty fuck much. Yeah. Fuck him and fuck all of his friends.
Sideways.
And, Next up, Senator Sheldon Whitehouse, who is a Democratic senator from Rhode Island, is suggesting that the Department of Justice investigate the FBI's background check of now Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh because he believes that it was politically motivated.
That it might have been fake or incomplete background check.
Yep.
Which makes a little bit of sense, because there's like the matter of him having like massive debts that somehow disappeared as soon as he got.
Also, remember who was president during all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, because what, you know, he was up there in his hearing, just crying and yelling and
unhinged.
About
this. Yeah, so
pretty sure he was wasted. I am absolutely. I'm pretty sure also he was pretty wasted too, because he was sporting some real gin blossoms on his face there during that.
Yeah.
Either that or he has one hell of a case of herpes. I'm all I'm saying.
I mean, he loved his beach parties.
Yeah.
With all his drinking games that coincidentally have the same names as various sexual acts.
Yeah.
Yeah, go watch the Last Week Tonight episode on that.
Yeah.
Whole spiel is ridiculous.
And then go take a shower. Yeah, and then go take a shower, because you will feel absolutely filthy after all of it is over with.
Yeah, maybe watch the SNL cold open on that whole thing with Matt Damon.
With Matt Damon, yeah, it's a lot funnier and actually still shockingly accurate.
Yeah.
But yeah. And now for something else that's concerning. A man from Texas was found outside the residence of Vice President Harris with guns and ammunition.
And the Naval Observatory. Luckily,
yeah.
Kamala Harris and her family had not moved in yet.
Mm-hmm.
So luckily nobody there to hurt. But he was found outside with guns and ammunition, charged with several counts related to weapons and ammunition.
Yep.
Yeah, detained by U.S. Secret Service, formally arrested by Washington police. Rifle and ammunition recovered from his vehicle.
Yep.
Yep, so good on the Secret Service for following up tips related to this happening and keeping these places safe, even if there's no important people in them to protect.
Yeah, pretty much.
And taking people like that, you know, off of the street.
Yep.
All right. So next up from there, as you all probably know, it's March, and next month is normally tax filing time, or at least the deadline. But fortunately, because of all the bullshit that's been happening because of COVID, the IRS has decided to delay tax return filing, and now the deadline is set at May 17th. So,
yep. About a month.
But extra. Isn't that just for individuals, not for married filing jointly?
I have no idea.
Okay.
That's what it means. Taxpayers can also delay payment money owed to the IRS for the 2020 tax year normally due in April to May 17th. There's any more time, you get the extension until October 15th.
Mm-hmm.
Still must pay taxes owed by May 17th. Federal income and returns and taxes, so states may not be changing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, if you've ever wondered why it is that our tax system is so fucking obtuse, watch the episode of Adam Ruins Everything that they did on taxes. And he will... explains exactly why, and you will be infuriated because you'll realize how much easier it is in other parts of the world when they do their taxes. Because
just like everything else, they get their funding taken away.
Yeah,
they have less and less people and resources to throw at it.
Yeah, you don't really. Because here's the thing: when you file out all those forms and send them off to the IRS, you're basically sending them information that they already have.
Yep.
Yeah,
they can just pre-populate all that shit.
Yeah,
a lot of countries in Europe just send you the bill.
Yeah. Now, there are a couple of states where you can I forgot what that phrase is called. I forgot. It's the easier version, but apparently they're having troubles getting it to other states because of assholes like the people who make the Quicken software.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
All that stuff. Because there's a good episode of Patriot Act. It's about that. Mm-hmm. You know, they're supposed to do it for free.
Yeah.
all the big tax companies make that as hard as possible. They put it on completely different sites.
Because just like every other parts of American bullshit, there's a whole cottage industry based around it.
Yeah.
Because if you just try to do it through their like normal site, they'll 9 times out of 10 try and suggest you like, oh, you just pay, you know, this much to file for, you know, whatever part you qualify for. Mm-hmm. Stuff. It's like, it's supposed to be free.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, here's a little tip. Go to creditkarma.com and it will be free.
Mm-hmm.
You can file for free there.
Yeah.
Federal and state.
Federal and state. That's right. Some good news. The U.S. has hit 100 million vaccinations weeks ahead of Biden's 100-day goal. Now, does this mean 100 individual shots or 100 full vaccinations?
I think it's at least the first dose.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah. We're administering about 2.5 million shots per day.
Mm-hmm.
So that is pretty good.
Yeah.
And it just says 100
Hopefully I will be joining them soon. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. That's a good, like, that total is like a third of Americans have gotten at least one shot. But again, the vaccine doesn't totally work, at least to some kinds of the vaccine don't totally work unless you also get that second shot as well. So let's hope this goes to 200 million.
Yeah. And yeah, it's opening up quickly for most states.
Yeah. And hopefully it'll open up a little quicker now because the former president has actually come forward and recommended his base get the vaccine.
Yeah. I liked his statement here saying, I would recommend it, and I would recommend it to a lot of people that don't want to get it. And a lot of those people voted for me, frankly. But, you know, again, we have our rights, and we have to live by that, and I agree with that also. But it's a great vaccine. It's a safe vaccine. It's something that works. So I'm saying, oh, well, I recommend it, but also you don't have to, I guess, but
it's the same double-blind bullshit he always does.
Yeah, but at least it's on something positive instead of...
Yeah, and hopefully his base will actually listen.
Yeah.
Yeah, hopefully his base will actually listen. Look, I'll fucking take it. Just, it's, you know, free. As long... Yeah, it's free. You don't have to pay for anything. You know, the only money you're spending is the money you're spending on gas. Like...
Free, and you get to sit someplace for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Fucking and Yo Ma was... doing a free concert for 15 minutes while he was waiting for his...
And if you're a kid, they'll give you a free sucker. So
just tell me you're a kid at heart and get another one anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, that thing was cool.
Oh, yeah. By the way, speaking of kids, a Moderna study of the COVID-19 vaccine in kids has actually just begun this week.
Yeah, it's from like ages 6 months up to 12 years. Or...
Mm-hmm.
Just under 12 years, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got... So he intends to enroll about 6,700 kids mm-hmm. in the U.S. and Canada and try and figure out what the optimal dose is for their vaccine is, whether it's two doses, maybe three, maybe one, I don't know. They're going to try it out and see how it goes.
Mm-hmm. You know, despite how shit this week was, at least it kind of felt like we weren't living in the apocalypse anymore.
I don't know, man. Speak for yourself.
Good point. Touche. I will give you that. But look,
it finally happened that someone in Scott's family died from it because a great majority of them have had COVID-19.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a shame because it's like, okay, if only the vaccines had been a month earlier, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
yeah,
there's a lot of people who are probably thinking that all across the world, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if only, you know, my aunt could have gotten the vaccine, she'd still be alive.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
That is true. That is true. That is 100% true. And, you know, remember, I had it, too. It's Even if the symptoms are mild, they're certainly no fun to have. My sense of smell is only now coming back. Finally, for COVID tonight, the study suggests that people that have had COVID-19, me included, are protected for at least 6 months.
Yeah.
I actually thought it was originally 3 months, but apparently it's longer than that, yeah. I guess.
And I think this is primarily for the strain that you got.
Yeah. Just
the whole thing with Dr. Fauci. Was getting grilled by Rand Paul,
mm-hmm.
who's constantly mm-hmm. talking about, do we still have to do the masks if you're, mm-hmm. Immune for, 6 months or longer, that kind of yeah. thing. And he's citing, all these studies that have been done, mm-hmm. saying why it's still important, how it's, you're more protected against the strains that you have gotten. Mm-hmm. But still, you obviously want to protect yourself from other strains that might be more contagious or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Just put on the fucking yeah. mask and shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
He's contorting himself to ways you're like, God damn, we need to call that neighbor up and get him here fast.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking beat the shit out of this man.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah. God damn, what was he doing to get that man to beat the shit out of him?
Yeah.
Whether he's acting here in public.
Yeah. Oh, man. And seriously, some people, when asked to wear a mask, they are reacting in ways that are... I don't want to use the word psychotic because that seems too strong a word, but...
Infantile?
Yeah, infantile would be... Yeah, infantile, toddler-ish, having a tantrum.
That kids would... Tell them to shut up and do the
yeah.
thing.
Yeah, like even the kids are like, lady, shut the hell up and put the mask on.
Yep.
Golly. You start to realize, and you notice that most of them are a specific demographic. They're mm-hmm. Middle class white people.
Uneducated.
Usually middle aged, though they don't have to be. There are younger examples. Fucking boomers, man.
It is, and yeah. uneducated.
Yeah.
Yeah. I heard one guy coming in that was basically, after he was complaining about the masks, he's like, they'll take all the people in the government, take them out on the streets and hang them. Jesus Christ, just shut the fuck up and go get
really?
Whatever the fuck you want and get out of here.
Yeah. Mm. All right. But that's it for all the serious stuff this week. Now we're moving on to the entertainment section. First and foremost, over on Peacock, that's NBC Universal streaming service, all episodes of The Office are free to watch until March 24th, which I think that is, yeah, that's Wednesday. So, got about a week.
Yeah, this started on the 18th yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's time of the 16th anniversary of The Office when that
yeah.
debuted.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, March 24th, yeah. 2005.
Yep.
So you got your work cut out for you to watch however many seasons that is.
True. There was a lot.
That's when every show got like 20, 24, 25 episodes for a season.
Yeah.
Yep.
So if it's like 9, 10 seasons, you got like 200 episodes.
Always needed to be a clip episode.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because you got to fill out that quota.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so...
That's going to be a weird thing for kids to go back and watch is, like, when shows had clip episodes, we're like, we can't just make all new content. We got to make this episode that's full of old shit that you've already seen.
Yeah, the clip episodes were usually, like, the thing they would do last. It was like the...
Yeah.
It was like as they would reach like the deadline for the shooting, they would basically, that was like their last ditch thing before they would wrap up the season.
I assume they would air it usually the weeks they would expect to be like the lowest viewers.
Pretty much, like, yeah. Usually, like before
events,
the
sporting events.
It's usually like the second or third episode before the season finale.
Yeah, at least the Simpsons did a couple of interesting ones. Like the it was like the weird showcase of like failed spinoffs, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but yeah, and yeah. Venom 2 is being delayed to September, and that is not that big of a shock. That movie's been delayed a couple times already, hasn't it?
Yeah, like most movies that were supposed to be coming out here within the past year or so. Mm-hmm. This one's moving to September 17th, which I think was the former spot. The Man from Toronto was supposed to be airing then the new Kevin Hart movie and Woody Harrelson movie.
Mm-hmm.
We're moving it to take up another spot from, what was it supposed to be originally? June 25th.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, studio's still trying to figure out like when that first time they can actually put their stuff out and not be a huge risk. So I think Disney is still pushing, what was it? The Marvel movie, Black Widow. Putting that out for May, I think, still holding it there.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's sure. For me, yeah. I'd say at least put that on Disney Plus as well.
Yeah.
But
next up, next up, we got some NFL news. And anybody who remembered growing up when your parents would secretly tape NFL matches, which was technically illegal. Because you'd end up, you know, you're supposed to not be able to tape anything that isn't with the permission of the National Football League. Same thing with baseball, too. The express written permission of. Well, NFL announced their new TV deal with several streaming ways to watch games. So,
yeah, so the NFL is on a lot of services and networks, mm-hmm. you know, CBS, Fox. Air mm-hmm. most of the Sunday games. NBC gets the big Sunday night game. Mm-hmm. ESPN gets the Monday night game. Mm-hmm. And Fox usually had the Thursday night game, I think, the most recent deal. But Amazon mm-hmm. was airing them on, like, Twitch occasionally, which mm-hmm. was weird. But, yeah, they've announced a deal that essentially for... like 11 years, $10 billion a year, essentially getting from everybody. So a huge amount of money for this. And it's kind of wild how all this stuff is playing out. So CBS gets the rights they've had for AFC games for Sunday afternoon. We'll also be simulcasting on Paramount Plus. Those games, ESPN continues to be Monday Night Football. Like ABC will also be simulcasting those games as well. So that'd be like a, you know, antenna TV means of watching them. Mm-hmm. But they'll also be putting them on ESPN Plus as well. And I guess ESPN Plus subscribers can stream one international series contest on an exclusive mm-hmm. national basis each season, which... it's like when they play games in London and usually put like the Jacksonville Jaguars over there because nobody here really cares about them. So that's weird. Finally, a use for ESPN Plus because there's not much on there.
Mm-hmm.
let's see. Fox continues with their NFC stuff for mm-hmm. Sunday afternoons. But they are expanding the streaming to an AVOD streaming platform called Tubi that I've never heard of. Mm-hmm. T-U-B-I. I have no clue what that is, but I guess that'll be where you can watch those games mm-hmm. if you want. NBC is continuing with Sunday Night Football. Simulcasting their games on Peacock. So you can get that, and I guess Peacock will also get an exclusive feed of a select amount of games over the span of the agreement.
Mm-hmm.
I guess like special... different broadcast version of it. I don't know. They do that some of that stuff with TNT on NBA stuff. Or you like maybe just like camera view without any announcers or anything, which is kind of weird. But Amazon will be getting Thursday Night Football games. That'll be on Amazon Prime Video. So you got to subscribe to that for Thursday Night Football.
Yeah.
I don't think Twitch is getting any of those anymore. Maybe. I don't know. It doesn't mention Twitch at all, but. And then NFL Network will get some handful of games throughout the year.
Yep.
So that's kind of all the weird ways and all the services you can get games on if you're somehow subscribed to everything, essentially. Mm.
Yeah. And finally, what was you going to say?
I was going to say it's maybe best for people that are like out of the market. Because that's a whole weird shit show. Like, if you're not living in the state or the area of where your team is at, your ability to watch those games can be scattershot, depending on just the weird market reasons for what they decide how stuff airs.
And finally, we have got news that Showtime is working on a limited series based around the Beer Belly Putsch, or as the rest of the world calls it, the Capital Insurrection.
Yeah, I guess it's hailing from the duo that worked on the Showtime series, The Comey Rule.
Yep.
So that Billy Ray and Shane Salerno, Billy Ray will write the series in addition to directing, Salerno executive producing. Yeah. Limited series will examine and explore multiple points of view, the events leading up to the January 6th attack, U.S. Capitol, including the final days of the Trump administration, culminate with the attack itself, the aftermath, and the FBI and congressional investigations. So, sure.
Yeah. Golly. It's, it's so, as a limited, like, I'm trying to think of, like, how they're going to be able to go about. Because, like, the Capitol Insurrection is one of those stories that, you know, it would require, like, a fairly big cast. Because there's a lot of different figures involved in this. And, it's just that they got their work cut out for them, is what I'm going to say. And,
I would assume you have at least, like, a handful of actors and a lot of extras.
A whole lot of extras. Yeah. There's going to be a lot of extras. They're going to need.
I don't know how you're going to make it look anything like the real thing.
There, you're going to need at least a few hundred, is what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
But so
absurd as the actual thing that happens, going to be the big challenge.
Yeah. But we have got ourselves a show, folks. So I would like to remind all of our listeners, if you got a question or comment or something you want us to read on the air, you can get in touch with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. You can find it linked to us in our show notes. And on top of Apple Podcasts, you can catch our little bit of unscripted shenanigans at Google Play, RSS, archive.org, or pretty much any kind of podcast aggregator you can think of. If we're not on there yet, well, just wait a few minutes. We'll show up eventually. With that, I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins, and for Teresa Sammons and Chris Sologi, I'd like to say good night, sleep tight, and if you're going to like a Chinese restaurant or like a beauty parlor or something like that over the next few weeks, try to be extra polite when you're over there, because the Asian community is kind of having a tough time over here right now, and they could all know that we do love them and support them. So, good night, everybody.